Good evening to each one.
Good evening.
Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. It's page 1021 in your pew Bible. 1 John chapter 2, beginning with verse 12. What is your favorite season of the year?
Summer.
Yeah, we're all over the map, aren't we? Man, I love summer. Man, I love heat and I love to sweat. My wife doesn't, but I love it. I love the summer. I live for the summer. Spring, allergies, beautiful plants coming out, but just a chaotic, hectic time. Yeah, fall. Get a little grumpy, a little moody. Winter. Oh my, I'm depressed. Get me to San Carlos. Well, I know what you're thinking. Some of you are saying, you haven't been in San Carlos in the summer. Well, all that good and well. Seasons of the year, they come and go, and they cycle and recycle. We get older, and a little bit closer to that time, we go to our eternal home. But in the same way that there are seasons of the year, the Bible says that there are seasons of life. King Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 3:11, "For everything there is a season, a time for every promise under heaven." Seasons are those time periods, seasons of life, are those time periods in which God is doing something marvelous in our hearts. It's a time of doing, it's a time of being. Seasons of life are times of transition. Rich and Karen are entering a new season of life. This church will be entering a new season of life. And here we find ourselves this morning on the cusp, each of us, of a new season at San Carlos Community Church. I would submit for your consideration this evening that there are not only seasons of the year and seasons of life, but within the seasons of life, there are, I submit, seasons of the soul. Seasons of the soul. Time periods in which God is doing something marvelous and mysterious in our hearts. Sometimes these seasons can be oh so sweet, and we never want them to end. And then there are times in our souls where we're dealing with a bittersweetness. And then there are seasons of our souls where things are excruciatingly painful. What season is your soul in tonight? In 1 John chapter 2, verse 12, the Apostle John speaks of three categories of people. Young people, if you will, children, and fathers. And we can kind of paraphrase that for our contemporary audience. Children, young men and women in the Lord, and fathers and mothers in the Lord. Throughout his epistle, John refers to his readers as children, but in these verses he singles out three categories. And it has been the testimony of many Christian interpreters that this verse is one of the earliest examples we have of a Christian and his season of his or her soul. There are children who are just starting out in the Christian journey. And then there are young people who've overcome the evil one and the Word of God abides in them. And then there are those fathers and mothers in the congregation who know the Lord intimately and who've gone through much by way of suffering and challenging circumstances. Some of the earliest interpreters in the Christian church regarded this passage as sort of a guidepost for where spiritual development takes place and how it looks. Some of the earliest interpreters in the Christian church spoke of times of great illumination. There are times where God shines the light of His Scriptures into our hearts and we come to know Him in ways unimaginable because of what He has said of us in His Word. But there are times also, early interpreters have said, that God is purging, burning away the junk in our hearts, the junk that's not like Jesus. And then there are those times of union, sweet, blissful communion, much like a spiritual honeymoon. Outside the Christian tradition, and in more recent times, different models of psychological and social development have been offered for the stages of human life. We think of, for example, Jean Piaget's levels of cognitive development, or Erickson's psychosocial theory of growth, or Kohlberg's stages of moral development, Daniel Levinson's modeling of adult life transitions, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's enumeration of the stages of grief. Different Christian thinkers and authors have drawn from these various sources and have kind of come up with their own Christian spin on things. One work in particular, James Fowler's Stages of Faith, The Psychology of Human Development, is notable. I have personally been helped by a little book called Three Philosophies of Life by Peter Kreft and Bruce Demarest's Seasons of the Soul. I've personally benefited from the insights of these different authors, but I have an admission to make. As I've read through these different sources, I felt as if they kind of all were vulnerable to a one-size-fits-all kind of thing. In other words, when you go through this season of life, here's what you experience. You go through this life, this is what you'll experience. This stage of life, this is what you'll experience. And I kind of didn't find myself fitting into any of the categories. And so what I've done, and I am making no claims to originality here tonight, but I've come up with my own take of things, borrowing and modifying from the insights of many Spirit-filled saints who've gone before me. And I want to present for your consideration a biblical template for understanding the different seasons of the Christian soul. After being a follower of Christ for the past 35 years and in public ministry for about that same length, there's some things that I've observed concerning the souls of Christians. And there are some things I've reflected upon and concluded, and so I want to offer those for your consideration this evening. I want to propose to you that there are at least three seasons of the Christian's soul. The time frame for these particular seasons could be as short as days. They could be weeks. They could be years. They could be decades. Last year in the Thursday morning's men group, I shared this, and Buck Monza said, "Hey, I go through these three things every day." These three kind of things. But what I want to submit to you, based on what I've observed as a professor of theology, as a Christian, and somebody who's been interested in the spiritual biographies of many saints, that there seem to be three seasons in which we find ourselves as Christians. Seasons of delight, seasons of disappointment, and seasons of distress. To varying degrees, I propose that we as Christians undergo seasons of life, seasons of the soul that parallel the themes we see in the Old Testament wisdom books of the Song of Solomon, the book of Ecclesiastes, and the book of Job. Let me spell out these different seasons for your consideration. A Song of Solomon season might be likened to a season of delight, a delight of knowing and experiencing God. The Song of Solomon is this beautiful, poetic song of wisdom that celebrates the sexual love between a man and woman united in marriage. Many Christian interpreters regarded the book, the Song of Solomon, as an illustration of Christ's deep, deep love for the church. Indeed, bridal imagery appears throughout the New Testament, and the Song of Solomon may illustrate that bliss of the human soul in a spiritual honeymoon, so to speak. Ecclesiastes seasons are seasons of disappointment and disillusionment. Disappointment and disillusionment with people, with life, and with God. The book of Ecclesiastes, its message is pretty straightforward. Life is meaningless. Life is empty and vain, unless you have a deep and reverent trust for God. And then finally, Job-like seasons. Job seasons are seasons of distress where we undergo severe testing and feel a deep sense of abandonment from people and even from God. The book of Job is a story of a righteous man who experienced unexplainable and undeserved suffering. But he came through that suffering with a deeper and more intimate knowledge of God. To varying degrees, I propose that we as Christians undergo seasons of the soul that parallel the themes we see in each of these Old Testament wisdom books. Let me unpack each of these seasons. Seasons of delight. What are the features of the season of delight? I tell you what, in the same way I love summer, I love those seasons of delight with God. They're sweet. You wish they would never end. Oh, I hate when September rolls around. I wonder if there are Septembers in romance. In a Song of Solomon season, we as Christians are sort of in a honeymoon period. There is a delight and an intense desire for the study of the Scriptures. Peter says to crave the pure milk of the Word that we may grow in respect to our salvation, since we've tasted the Lord is good. The Lord is so good. I just love the study of the Scriptures. Give me more. In Song of Solomon type seasons, our relationship with the Lord is likened to a sacred romance or even an adventure. We're kind of caught up with the Lord, and we're caught up with the adventure that life presents itself now that we are Christians. In a Song of Solomon kind of season, we enjoy the felt presence of God. Now, some of you in here are going to get a little bit, you're going to think I'm a little crazy here, but the others you in the room are going to go, yes, I know what you're talking about. But there are times when Jesus is so close to us, we can feel His body heat. He gives us a kiss on the cheek, a hug. He is right there holding our hand. He walks with us and he calls us His very own. Oh, I love those times. I love those times. In Song of Solomon seasons, prayer is frequent and passionate. I want to spend time with Jesus and talk with Him. Let Him talk with me. Those times are sweet and precious. And in Song of Solomon seasons, service for the Lord flows with